Good morning. My name is Philip Girth, and I'm one of the elders here at New Song. And I know today is a very, very special day. It is May 12th. If you look on the calendar, it is designated as a very special day on the calendar for all to participate in. I'm sure there are many special moments associated with May 12th for a variety of people, but one day stands out, and that is because May 12th is National Limerick Day. There once was a man named McGlone who took pictures of the stars with his phone. He'd look up at the sky, and he'd let out a sigh. Till his wife, late at night, yelled, "Come home!" Okay, the big day on the calendar is obviously Mother's Day. And I want to honor godly mothers today. In particular, I want to specifically honor those attributes of the divine nature that are visible in godly mothers. For the purposes of the sermon, I'm not just going to honor every mother. I'm going to contrast a normal mother from a godly mother. And I hope you'll allow me to do that today. We've already honored all mothers a little earlier today in the service. But for the purposes of the sermon, I really want to focus on godly mothers. And I want to start by contrasting the lives of two mothers, a normal mother and a mother that has divine attributes visible in her life. So mother number one wakes up on Monday morning. She thinks about all she has to do today, and she lets out a loud sigh. She has to take this child to this activity. She has to go shopping for that. She has to spend certain hours on this project. She needs to balance that. She needs to plan this meal. She has to replace this in the house. She has to deal with a nosy neighbor. She needs to obtain such and such. And she lets out a loud sigh because the day is going to tax her strength. But she gets up and she begins her day nonetheless. I'm not actually going to honor that mother this morning. Not from the sermon, not for the sermon. If that's your mother, you need to honor her because she's your mother. But for the sermon, I'd rather focus on mother number two. Mother number two wakes up on Monday morning. She looks at all she has to do for the day, and she also lets out a loud sigh because she has all the same things on her list as mother number one. It's the same never-ending, overwhelming list. But mother number two takes time to pray. She cries out to the Lord and acknowledges that her strength will not be enough for the day. She asks the Lord to go with her, to give her the strength to inspire her children, the peace to deal with the nosy neighbor, the patience to deal with her husband asking, "What is it you do around here all day?" The love to interact with those around her. She prays for these things, and the Lord is delighted to answer her prayer. And from deep inside the woman, something stirs as the Holy Spirit dispenses extra strength to get mother number two through the day. Mother number one goes through her day and accomplishes most of the things that she needed to do that day. Mother number two, I really want to honor a mother like that, not just today, really any day of the year, because I've been a child that was impacted by mother number two, not just by my own mother. I mean, I'm super thankful for the influence of my own godly mother, but see, I grew up in the church, and if you grew up in the church, you're going to encounter a number of godly mothers. I don't remember every word every mother ever said to me in the church. But I'm 51, and I still remember how I felt around every one of those mothers. You think about that next time you interact with little children here at New Song that are not your own. They may not remember every word you say to them, but they'll remember how they felt around you. It's so easy to think that perhaps we can go through our day in isolation, that we can just keep to ourselves, that we don't have to let our light shine. But you know what? Everyone you're going to interact with today, you will encounter for better or for worse. Did you smile joyfully at someone today? Then you interacted with them. Did you show the love of God to them, even in some menial way? Then you interacted with them. Did you show the peace of God to them? Then you interacted with them. Did you show patience with them while they rang up your grocery bill? Or while they drove in front of you? Then you interacted with them. Did you show kindness when the hairstylist cut your hair and talked about her life? Then you interacted with them. We as believers can spread the fragrance of life to all that we interact with. This is not a far-fetched standard. This is how the righteous seek to live. We have the fruit of the Spirit, and we carry that fruit with us. And when we encounter a person, no matter how small, no matter how helpless, that needs our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, our self-control, and we share our spiritual fruit with them, those interactions are an advancement of the kingdom of God. This church is full of godly mothers that absorb the strength of the Holy Spirit as they go throughout their day. And they're ready to dispense spiritual life to those around them. These mothers don't look at those who come bumping into their lives as distractions. They view them as the mission. They are ready to advance the kingdom of God. And so I have a special Mother's Day blessing for the godly mothers here at New Song. And it's from Colossians 1, 9 through 12. It's time for water. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I hope your mothers liked your special Mother's Day blessing today. It's a blessing that's good for you every day of the year, and actually it's good for all of us here as well. I want to take the time and I just want to break down this blessing. First, Paul said that he had not ceased to pray for the believers in Colossae. Keep praying for those around you. Mothers, this one is very much for you. Pray for your children. Pray for their lives. Pray for their future spouses when they are children. Pray for their own families once they have grown up. Second, Paul prayed specifically that we may be filled with the knowledge of God's will. You may not know this, I imagine most of you know this, but there's a movement in academics and in society called the postmodernism movement. And one of the things that postmodernists teach is that you can never really know something for sure. Be very careful that this kind of teaching does not enter into your understanding of God's will. Don't just shrug and say, well, who can know the will of God? His ways are higher than ours. Don't take that philosophy. That kind of philosophy, one that says we cannot know God's will, so why try? That philosophy is just spiritual self-centeredness by another name. It's spiritual rebellion by another name. It's a rejection of meekness by another name. It's intentional ignorance of the will of God by another name. Don't fall for that philosophy. You can know the will of God. And spiritual maturity is often measured as knowing more about the will of God now than you did 1 year ago. God expects us to know His will. You may not know it fully until you get to heaven, but you're expected to know some of it now. And you're expected, as you mature, to know more and more of it. Start with Scripture. Start there. And the Holy Spirit will show you how to apply the Scriptures to your life. Paul prayed that we may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Third, we are supposed to be applying that spiritual wisdom and knowledge. Paul writes, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, which means going places and doing things and interacting with people. That's why I started this sermon with an illustration of mother number two. She was going about her day. She was trying to accomplish all the same things as mother number one. But mother number two was walking differently. She walked to the same places, but the way mother number two walked is different than the way mother number one walked. Mother number one walked in her own strength. Mother number two walked in a manner worthy of the Lord. She walked in the Lord's strength and for the Lord's glory. Brother Jeff, I really appreciate your prayer at the beginning of this because it ties right into this point. Fourth, bearing fruit. We are supposed to be bearing fruit. What kind of fruit? The kind the Spirit grows in us. Once again, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you show me a Christian that is bearing no fruit, I will see a Christian that needs to have some serious things fixed in their lives. Healthy branches bear fruit. Unhealthy branches get pruned. Who is the fruit for? It's for everyone we encounter. We don't always get to pick who eats the fruit. Hungry people are all around us. You should expect two groups of people to want to consume the spiritual fruit that you're growing. The first group are believers that are feeling down. And the second group is unbelievers that are feeling down. And that's pretty much all unbelievers. So that's like way over 80% of the population right there. That's who needs your spiritual fruit. Fifth, increasing in the knowledge of God. How do you grow in your knowledge of God? Well, in personal Bible study, in mentoring, in prayer, in group Bible study, during sermons, during the worship, during communion, there are so many opportunities. Don't look at your time with the Lord as a distraction from your day. It is one of the main things you're supposed to be doing for the day, is spending time with the Lord. From Christ, we are to receive and we are to distribute the spiritual life of God. We breathe in and we breathe out the spiritual life of God. Or as the Scripture puts it, we are to partake of the things of God and we are to dispense the things of God. That's why today's sermon is called Dispensing and Partaking. We are called to be partakers and dispensers. It's not one or the other. We are supposed to do both. We should partake and we should dispense. Every time you see the word translated into partake from the Greek, the original Greek word implies a sense of sharing of something or of partnering. You are sharing in the divine attributes. You're not God, of course, but you are sharing the attributes of God because you are so close to God, because you are full of God. Remember that the next time you're asked to partake of the elements, but that should be another sermon. We are to partake of Christ's nature. He's supposed to be getting into us so much that it's clear that we are sharing some of his attributes. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. It's from one of my favorite passages. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. God has given us access to everything we need for life and godliness, and that is a very exhaustive list. But we access it by our knowledge of him. God has given us promises that we can trust in him. And this knowledge and those promises, they transform us. I want to make sure you get this. Let's back up. You start off life as a normal human being. You're born into sin. That's also the normal human experience. You need salvation. Hopefully everybody here has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You have acknowledged that your sins have set you on the path to eternal destruction, eternal punishment. But when you accept the shed blood of Jesus as the source of your righteousness, the divine life begins to come into you. The Zoe, life of God, begins to flow through you. This is spiritual life, the Zoe, that's the Greek word. It's not biological life, I'm talking about spiritual life. The Greek word for the spiritual life is Zoe. Biological life establishes your flesh. Spiritual life establishes your spirit. It is the Zoe life that comes to us at salvation. We are born again spiritually with the Zoe life. That Zoe life needs to get into every aspect of our being, especially into our soul. It needs to work its way through our mind and our emotions and our will. And it finds opportunities to do so, not just in our devotional time, but also when you face challenges that you cannot handle in your own strength. When you need the Zoe life more than usual to get through your day. When you take from the deep wells of the Spirit of God enough strength to get through your day, you partake of the things of the Holy Spirit. And in the process of partaking of the Zoe life throughout your day, it begins to transform you. The Holy Spirit is transformational in us. You start to become full of the Zoe life in all kinds of new ways as you partake. That's why we grow new spiritual fruit. That's why we grow more spiritual fruit. Actually, it's why we grow any spiritual fruit at all. That's why I'm here for the purposes of the sermon to honor divine attributes visible in the lives of godly mothers. Because once you have partaken enough and your fruit has developed enough, people will come into your life that need the fruit. Their lives are often so very desperate. Sometimes we forget the deep desperation of the hurting around us. You should expect that the vast majority of those around you are desperate for a touch of the things of God. They just need a touch. They just need a little joy, a little love, a little patience, Sometimes they need more joy, more love, more patience, because their lives are so very, very empty. I am glad for those of you that grew up in the church life. But please remember, there are a lot of people, they have never been to church, they have never known true love. They have never known the Father's love. They have never known true peace, the peace that Jesus gives us. And as a result, they become jaded and hopeless, and they fill their lives with temporary pleasures that leave them feeling empty and cheapened. They know true love exists. It's referred to in all their favorite literature, but so many people have never really encountered it. And you could be the one to share with them. You could share the Zoe life with them. So don't be ashamed to share with the unsaved. Share the Zoe life. Share the gospel wherever you can. Don't be ashamed of it. People really need it. Until you understand how much people need it, you might not even want to share it. But once you realize the depths of despair that people have sunk to when they do not have the Zoe life inside, then you'll want to share the gospel with them. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the Zoe life inside of you. It's power. Power to transform people. Power to transform hurting people. Power to transform desperately hurting people that feel unloved. I was recently rereading the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus the beggar, not Lazarus the guy who came out of the grave. It's in Luke chapter 16. And the rich man is in torment in Hades. He is in anguish from the flames. He cries out to Abraham and to Lazarus. And Abraham tells the man, this is Luke 16, verses 25 through 26. But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." I want you to notice that when God designed heaven and Hades, he placed them not too far from each other. People can see each other if they want to. And I see that it was designed in such a way that the saints of heaven could look out and see others in torment and naturally want to help. If I saw a man on fire, I would want to try to help that person. Now imagine the flames are never quenched. Would I want to help? Of course. But the design of Hades is such that the time for saints helping the wicked is apparently over with. From heaven, it seems unlikely that you could visit Hades and bless someone with a cup of water in Christ's name. That means something. It means that the time for touching the lives of the wicked is now. It's now or never. I don't know how many of you like to watch teacher movies. There are a lot of them. And in teacher movies, there is always one child that is acting out in the classroom and out of the classroom because the child does not know that he or she is loved, because the child does not realize his or her value in the absence of that love. And the child always acts out for the first half of the film. Finally, the teacher tries to reach the child in a new way to show the child that the child has value, that the child is valuable. And the film will either end in joy because the unloved child will transform in response to the message of love, or the child will self-destruct because they do not realize the importance of the message of love. And if the child self-destructs, the movie is a tragedy. And all the viewer can do is shake our head and say, if only someone had reached the child sooner with the message of love. Have you seen a teacher movie like this? It's a common Hollywood formula. There's usually a film that comes out like this every few years. But it is an illustration of the need for the gospel message. People often act out because they have not heard or because they have not understood the gospel message. And if a sinner receives the message of love, there is much rejoicing. Even the angels rejoice. But if a sinner self-destructs, all we can do is shake our heads and say, if only someone had reached this person sooner with the gospel. If only they had heard it more adequately. If only they had heard it one more time. How can we be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Anyone that is ashamed of the gospel does not realize how desperate the lives of sinners truly are. And you know, frankly, even once we come to Christ, everything's not all roses. We will go through tough times. Even believers need to receive your Zoe life. So look for opportunities to share your fruit, to share the gospel. It's all part of the Zoe life, a transformational life that we have been given to partake of and to dispense to others. Once we partake the Zoe life, we are to dispense the Zoe life. We can dispense in the form of the gospel message. We can dispense in the form of sharing our spiritual fruit. We can dispense in the form of just ministering to those around us. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, for this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. You see that the word in Ephesians 3:2 is translated in modern translations as stewardship. But in the King James and earlier translations, the word is dispensing. Paul said, I am dispensing God's grace to you. God gave me grace for me to dispense to you. I absorbed, I partook of the divine nature so that I could share it with you, so that I could dispense it to you, so I could steward what God gave me for your benefit. I soaked it up like a sponge so that I could get it to you. Partaking is like soaking up as a sponge, filling up the sponge. Dispensing is twisting the sponge so that it pours out on those that need it. Of course, we're people, we're not a sponge. We're partaking of the Zoe life, not water. But it's the mission. And this is yet one more reason why I want to constantly emphasize the importance of daily devotions in your life. Okay, that was a lot, kind of heavy. Let's do one more point from the Mother's Day blessing. 6, Paul prays that we would be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Please note, Paul's prayer was not that we would avoid all troubles. That was not his prayer at all. His prayer was that we would receive strength in our spiritual life by partaking of the divine life, by knowing the will of God so that we would have much strength, but not strength just so we could be strong. That strength is there to handle situations that would normally tax our endurance and empty our patience. A lot of people go through hard days. A lot of people can face the hard times and sometimes come up short. And maybe they handle the day's challenges today. Paul's prayer is that we would handle these things with joy. Joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Joy requires partaking of the Zoe life. This brings us full circle in this sermon. Mother number one does not go through her day with joy. She only goes through her day with a sense of endurance. Endurance is not a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is, endurance is not. Faithfulness is, but endurance is not. Faithfulness means being steadfast in areas of faith. If there's no faith, it's not faithfulness, it's just endurance. It might only be stubbornness. If you want faithfulness, you need faith. Paul prays that we would have enough strength to handle our challenges with joy. Mother number one does not partake, so she does not dispense. She does not touch lives the way that mother number two does. Mother number one does not face the day with spiritual joy. Mother number two, however, took the time to partake of the divine nature. She absorbed an extra helping of the Zoe life. She takes from what the Holy Spirit freely offers all believers. Mother number two went through her day sharing the fragrance of divine life. Her extra Zoe life that she was carrying lightened the load of those around her. Her patience helped the grocery clerk. Her joy was visible to the hairstylist. Her love was visible to the nosy neighbor that she had to deal with. And it was all visible to her own children, who look up to their mother as one of the great influencers of their own lives. If you went through your day and said, I'm not going to eat today, and I'm not going to eat tomorrow, and I'm not going to eat all this week because I have too much to do, you would know you would self-destruct. You would know by at least the second day, if not the third, things are not going well because you need nutrition and you need hydration. And yet I'm surprised how often we Christians forget that we're supposed to be doing the same thing with spiritual life. We must absorb. We must partake of the Zoe life. Let me conclude. I started the sermon by saying that I want to honor godly mothers today. I said that I wanted to specifically honor those attributes of the divine nature that are visible in the lives of godly mothers. And I think I've done that today. To those mothers here that partake of the divine nature, before you interact with anyone here on Sunday morning, thank you. I am so glad you are my sister in Christ. I am so glad that you are here ministering with me. I am so glad that you have influenced me, and not just me, but my own family as well. You are a great example of follow me. Because of your influence, I give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And with that, Brother Ashley has some announcements for us. Thank you, Brother.